to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 220 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Daytona is this weekend, the Great American Race. NASCAR is back for 2021. I am so excited, as I know all of you are. And I'm even more excited because tonight's show is brought to you by DraftKings. That's right. The Lap Traffic Podcast is sponsored this week by DraftKings. Motor racing fans, start your engines this Sunday. Race day is back when the drivers return to Daytona Beach. And to celebrate, DraftKings is offering a huge racing contest with $1 million in total prizes up for grabs and a $200,000 top prize. We'll definitely be playing for some of that. You can bank on that. Playing fantasy car racing is simple. Just download the DraftKings app before the race begins. Find the racing contest with $1 million in total prizes. Draft a team of six drivers and follow the action live. You will rack up points for fastest laps, laps led, finishing positions, and more. Outscore the competition, myself included, and take the checkered flag. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its players since 2012, so they know a thing or two about bringing home the trophy. So go download the DraftKings app now. Use code LAPT. That's right. They gave me my own code. Go use code LAPT during the sign up to enter the huge motor racing contest with $1 million in total prizes for this weekend's return to Daytona Beach. Don't forget, that's code LAPT to enter the $1 million contest only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Oh, man, how cool is that? I did a read. Oh, man, you guys know I love DraftKings. I am pumped. NASCAR is going to be back. And cool thing is, it's not just cup racing. They've got Xfinity and they've got truck as well. So go make sure you get in on the action at DraftKings.com. Oh, man. Listen, Live Traffic Nation, hope you all had a fantastic weekend. Tonight, racing is back with the Clash, and I am so excited, as I know you all are. The Daytona 500 this Sunday, I cannot believe it. We are mere days away from the Great American Race and to kick off the season. All right, so tonight's show is up a little early because I will be joining the boys at the PETM podcast, Rusty Sherwin, later tonight live during the Clash, so make sure you check that out. Oh, I'm so excited about this. There's so much going on. I will be back on 92.9 The Ticket this year with Wayne Harvey and the guys. I'll be making my first appearance this Friday morning. You can stream it live. I'll send out the details later this week on all that good stuff. And there's another sponsor coming on board next week. You may have seen me tease that, Manscaped. Can't wait for that. The Fantasy League has over 100 players. I told you guys season 5 is going to be huge. Racing hasn't even started yet. Man, I am so excited with everything going on. Man, we had a little football on Sunday, but something tells me I'll be talking about that with PETM tonight. So make sure you go check that out for sure. Hope you guys enjoyed last week's stacked Daytona preview show with Daytona track president Chip Weil, Landon Castle, Mike McDowell. If you haven't checked that out, go check that out, episode 219. And I can tell you right now, there's also something huge in the works that's probably going to be announced next week. Things are looking very promising for a huge partnership with a very well-known NASCAR entity. And that's all I'm going to say about that because I'm pretty excited. all right. Now that Plugfest is over, man, I cannot wait to talk some racing next weekend. Start getting back to a format that you've all grown to love, I think. But tonight, Jeff Striegel is going to be on in just a second. And then after Jeff, do a little social media. And it's time for the picks. We got to make some picks. Daytona, Lap Traffic Fantasy, all that good stuff. And last year's league winner, Joe Hewson, is going to be on to kick off the picks. I'm very excited about that. All right, enough babble. Let's get Jeff Striegel on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his 15th appearance and first of season 5 and first of the 2021 NASCAR season. He's the legendary voice at MRN. He's a staple of the Lap Traffic podcast. Welcome back to the show. It's Jeff Striegel. Jeff, what's up, brother? How are you?
Well, I know when you're calling me that the off season is somehow behind us, and of course that's the case, and Here we are looking at Speed Weeks 2021. I'm doing great. Brandon, I will tell you this. It's a whole lot better in Florida than back home in our home state of Michigan because it's just warmer down here than it is up there, that's for sure.
There's some white stuff on the ground. That is for sure. That is for sure. Oh, man, listen, it's at this point, Jeff, you ended the season the last 2 years on the show. We've got the MIS preview and review show. Now we're kicking off the season. That'll probably be a trend. 10 years from now, you're going to be on every week because I'm just going to find the excuse at that point.
Well, at some point, you're going to have to start paying me. Right. I mean, come on. Man, I mean, this has gone from part-time work to darn near full-time work, and I think that when it becomes that, then you know you got to open the checkbook right. Here.
As soon as that check from Chevy clears, man, I'll let you know.
There you go. No, I'm happy to be on. You know that. You know, we've always had a lot of fun doing different things. Whether, like you said, we're wrapping up the year, looking at Michigan. Now we're looking at Daytona. In the 63rd running of the Daytona 500. And, you know, what promises to be a very interesting season for many, many reasons. Number one, we're probably saying goodbye to the car that, you know, we have been with now for the last couple of years because NASCAR will be looking ahead to a new car next year. And, you know, I don't know that we're going to get into a lot of that today. I mean, that's a story for down the road sometime. But as you know, we got some new race teams. We got some pretty powerful race teams looking to rebound after last year. We got brand new tracks on the horizon. And, of course, in 4 or 5 days, whatever it is now,
yeah,
we'll have the Great American Race.
Yeah. Oh, man, what a way to set the tone, Jeff. I love that. Mm-hmm. Before we get going, make sure you tell – Julie, thank you for letting me steal you 15 times. I probably owe her a bottle of wine as a thank you for all the time that you've sacrificed coming on the show, man.
She'll take it. I can tell you that right now. Sweet red.
Excellent.
It's always fun. And, you know, you and I have talked about this many times. We all do what we can to support the sport that we love, and that's why we do what we do. And I'm always happy to be on this show. And as you know, I'm happy to be on pretty much any show.
Yes.
This is home, though.
I appreciate that.
15th time, like you said that. Yes. And so always good. Where do we start,
well,
Brandon? We got so much to cover.
Yeah, so I want to start with a question that I asked Chip Wild, Daytona Track President, last week. Because, I posed it to him with the craziness of 2020, with the extra offseason, with COVID, with the world turning upside down. And I know it sounds cliche, and I used that same word last year, but I feel more hype around this Daytona and getting this season specifically up and running than years past. And I can honestly say there are some years where the hype has been greater than others. So I know it's not just saying, oh, well, it's a new season, so of course there's hype. But I feel like there is a little extra oomph behind getting Daytona going this Sunday.
Well, you know, I don't know where I would put it in, you know, my list of what 500 felt like it had more hype than another. They all do, of course, in one way or another. I've been very impressed with our friends from Fox and the ongoing promotion that they have been running, some of which have been just, you know, home runs.
Those with Jeff Gordon. Are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, with Jeff Gordon and Clint Boyer.
Yes.
And we saw them all the way through the Super Bowl, and now we're seeing them to kick off the week here. They help. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, our friends on Sirius XM Channel 90 who have been pounding the radio side of things, and they do it every day, and they do it very well. And then, of course, we have the race fans and social media. And then, as you and I were talking about this before we went live, just how explosive that is and all of the different stories that people are interested in and following. So I think you're right. I hope you're right. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of excitement. And I hope that that translates into very good ratings by the time we wrap up here at the end of the week.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. You know, it's we saw it last year when we came back. You know, we shortened up race weekends. You know, fans weren't allowed. You know, we wanted to reduce exposure as much as possible. You know, unload them and line them up on the grid. And that's kind of carried over a little bit from speed weeks to speed week. What do you think about the condensed and the merging? You know, normally we would have ran the Clash this past Saturday. We're running it tonight. You know, we've got the duels right after, or the Daytona qualifying, the duels. We've really crammed it into a condensed schedule here. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you have to embrace change or you're going to get left behind. I think we can all stand on the curb and yell about one thing or another. Heck, we do it every day regarding something or another. It seems like that's just how the world has become. You know, there's part of me that doesn't like the way that we're doing Speed Weeks. Why? Because it cut into our fun time. You know, we just love going down to Daytona where we are right now. And there were times when we had an opportunity to spend a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday just kind of kicking back with our friends from the Motor Racing Network or from the track or from NASCAR. And, you know, we might play golf. We might run a boat. We might just walk the beach. We might just do a number of different things. Well, okay, you know what? Times have changed, and we're not going to have that opportunity to do it now simply because, like you stated, we're racing tonight. We'll be racing all day and all night tomorrow with practice and qualifying. Thursday, we race at night with the duels. Friday, under the lights with the truck series. All day on Saturday with final practice, ARCA, and the Xfinity series. And then we'll wrap things up with the Daytona 500, get on an airplane, go home. So you love your job. So I love the way the schedule works because that just means you are flat out from the time you land until the time you take off. But when you condense things like they do, and I think the fans feel the same pressure too, don't you, Brandon?
Oh,
with the
absolutely.
Fact that, yeah, I mean, it's just when you go to Michigan – or any track. I was just using Michigan as an example because it's a track you and I know and love. When you shorten the schedule, you feel like, man, maybe I'm getting cheated out of something. But in reality, I really don't know that you are. You know, you still have a lot of racing. You got a lot of downtime. You got your friends nearby. Make the best of it. And that's certainly what we're doing down here right now.
Sure, absolutely. You know, when I look at the and this is taking a hard left turn here on a tangent, but you know, when I look at the one day shows, so to speak, I feel bad for the race fans, you know, mainly those race fans that's their one weekend a year that they got to take off from work to go rent a camper in a tent, whatever it may be, and stay at the track. And that's when you said, you know, maybe they're missing out on something. That was the first thing that came to my mind. It's like, you know, these guys that and families that's their thing. And man, you know, yeah, the campgrounds might be open. But, you know, if you don't get to go walk around, you know, the fan plaza and see guys jumping off motorcycles into swim, you know, that's become a thing. You know, the race weekend has become an event that's not just about the racing. It's the camaraderie about the guy that you've been camping next to for, you know, 20 years, both Father's Day weekend and, you know, the third weekend in August at MIS. And some of that's gone. And like you said, you know, we have to embrace the change, but that's what bums me out the most for the race fan.
Well, here's what I like, and NASCAR track presidents knew this going in. Michael Prince up at Watkins Glen, Rick Brenner at Michigan, and the list goes on and on. Every track, whether it's an SMI track or an ISC track, they recognized the need for additional things to do at the racetrack. Now, let's use Michigan as just a quick example. If I'm not mistaken, they open their gates on Tuesday, so you can actually get on the property and get in the infield on a Tuesday. Well, even under normal circumstances, they wouldn't put a car in the racetrack until Friday anyway. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it's nothing more than camping with your friends. Sure. That's cool. All right. Well, on Friday, you still have an event going on with the ARCA series. On Saturday, you've got Xfinity. And on Sunday, you've got the Cup cars. The only thing we're missing here is practice and ongoing, sometimes mind-numbing practice, lap after lap. All right, well, the track presidents, and you and I have discussed this before, Brandon, was they recognized that they needed to do more. And I know that Talladega had boasted 75, and I think Michigan had boasted 75 additional things to do besides watching a stock car race. And if it wasn't, you know, a band in the outfield, it was a band in the infield. If it wasn't a cornhole tournament, like you said, it would be the Monster Energy stunt bikes. I forget now how you actually say that, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
They put on a tremendous show. And so there was always something to do. And I do credit NASCAR and the track presidents for making it still a must-see event, no matter whether we're talking about Martinsville, Kansas, you know, Phoenix, Texas. It doesn't matter. They're all doing it. And you've been there. I've been there. And I certainly hope that we can get our fans back there in earnest to enjoy everything that's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You mentioned it, packing up and flying back after Sunday. I was going to ask you. So 3 weeks in Florida, 2 weeks in Daytona specifically. So you're going to make a bunch of round trips, or are you going to be able to stay down there, make a little vacation time out of a couple days in between? What's the schedule like for you the next couple weeks?
COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate that, man. You know, I'm not afraid to tell you this. It's and everybody else that's listening. I hate it. But we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're not given the opportunity to extend our stay. So we will all be wrapping up here on Sunday night, hopefully.
Yes.
The weather looks good. You know, it could look better, but the weather looks good. Once we're done with that, then on Monday, I'll fly back home only to turn right around and on Thursday morning, fly right back. Then we'll wrap up with the road course in what, a week and a half or however it shakes out. We'll fly back home and turn around on Thursday and fly back down to do Homestead Miami. Not a bad way to kick off a year.
No.
I'm going to pick up a few frequent miles that I would just as soon not do and stay down and support some of the restaurants and things down in Florida, down here in Daytona, but that's just not in the cards this year. So we'll do what we're being told to do, and we'll do it well.
Sure. No, I'm with you there. Speaking of all that, you know, that probably is, well, maybe not, but has it changed off season for you guys at MRN, you know, meetings, Zoom calls, all that kind of stuff, getting ready for the start of the season?
It hasn't changed from when we shut down following Phoenix. So, unfortunately, no, we haven't changed. I'm looking forward to when the change comes, because when the change comes, it means we're going back to some resemblance of what we were before COVID and the pandemic. We still have a tremendous protocol and procedural policy that we need to follow that NASCAR mandates, and I applaud them for it. Again, you and I have talked about this. The listeners have heard this before, but they've done it right. They continue to do it right. We were really the only form of sports in the world that was able to do what we were able to do last year. And it was because of the procedures and the protocols and everybody doing what they had to do and following what was laid out. And when you go back and think about it, Brandon, as you know, NASCAR was the first one to put all these things in place. Yep. Everybody else followed.
Yes.
Well, NASCAR put them down and they were right from the beginning. And that's something that I don't think that we should overlook.
No,
we didn't come back and panic and go, oh, my gosh, we made a mistake here. We got to change. We got to do this. No, we didn't have to do any of that, Brandon. What they gave us worked from day one, and it still works today.
Yeah, no, we laid the groundwork for that. And that, you know, is as much as, you know, like you mentioned a little bit ago, in terms of social media, everyone, you know, getting on their box and going off here and there. NASCAR doesn't get enough recognition for giving the fans the opportunity to be able to have that once, you know, those 8 weeks were up, and the ability to lose ourselves in race weekends again during difficult times and all that kind of stuff. NASCAR definitely does not get enough credit for that. That is 100%. Yeah.
For sure.
Jeff, speaking of NASCAR, you know, I know it may be no chatter, may be very loose and thin chatter, but anyway, you know, does NASCAR plan, or you know, have you heard, like, is there at least talk of, you know, hey, let's you keep an eye on things in terms of a date, a goal about maybe getting the garage opened back up, at least to media or, you know, teams, you know, any talk on you know, trying or, you know, perspective on when we might get to normal a little bit this season?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Those talks go on every day. Here's the challenge. We all know, or at least I hope we know, that, you know, I said Rick Brenner at Michigan, and I used Michael Prinup at Watkins Glen. These two gentlemen representing all track presidents across NASCAR want to open the gates tomorrow. You know, don't yeah. anybody kid themselves and think that, you know, we're not welcoming fans back, because the only reason we're not is because we are following state and local protocol that is mandated by, you know, the governor, and then down to the local level, the health department, the county health department. So I think we look at it this way. Are they having conversation? Yes. Do we have a date in mind? Absolutely not. Would they do it tomorrow if they could? You bet. But that probably isn't in the foreseeable future. Now, this is just my gut.
Sure.
You know, we're going to have some people around down here. They're already coming in, as a matter of fact. So we're going to see fans, we're going to see campers, but then we may move on to another state like we did last year, as you know. And, you know, Watkins Glen had to say, man, we just can't go at all. California's yeah. already postponed.
Right.
Michigan, probably if we were racing up here, thank goodness we're not in the month of February. You know, but if we had to, the answer would be no. Is it feasible that it could all change in a month or two or three? Absolutely. And I can't wait for that day.
Absolutely. I'm with you there. All right. Let's turn again here. Sports betting now legal in Michigan, and so many other states are hopping on board with this. Denny Hamlin, the odds on favorite to win his third in a row at +700. We got some sleepers out there at Bubba Wallace +2,500, Matt D +3,000, Tyler Riddick +4,000. But Jeff, the beauty is any one of these guys has a chance to win the Daytona 500 and, you know, put some coin in some people's pocketbooks.
What do you suppose the numbers would have been on Trevor Bayne back in, what, 2011? Was that when Trevor won it?
Yeah.
For the Wood Brothers?
That would have had to have – I mean, man, he might have just been a field bet. I mean, he may not have even had his own individual. I mean, yeah, man, that probably a good 3,500 to one.
Yeah, if you'd have dropped a $100 bill on that particular day, on that particular team, and that particular driver, you'd – probably are living in South Florida with a beautiful house on the beach.
Right. Yes.
You know, that's where the beauty of betting comes with the Daytona 500. Now, I'll tell you, I don't bet. I look at the odds. I laugh at them sometimes. I guess if we're in Dover.
Okay.
You know, they're,
yep, right there on the track.
Yeah, we're staying at the casino. We stay right there at Dover Downs. I might walk up, or we might walk up, Bagman, Moody, Alex, Postman, you know, you never know. We'll just be hanging out. Somebody will say, you know what, why don't we go look at the odds for the race on Sunday? And we'll see him, and we'll see Christopher Bell at, you know, 500 to one. And it's like, okay, that's just ridiculous. You got to put $10 on that.
Right.
And so when you, but that's even crazier. Daytona is even crazier than that, because again, anybody can win this race, and that is easier to say for Daytona and Talladega than any other track we have. And a lot of people are like, yeah, everybody has a chance to win at every racetrack. Well, a true fan that understands our sport, Brandon, and you do, knows that, track house racing could win at Daytona. But I'm going to tell you something. Trackhouse is not going to win at Phoenix. That's just how it's going to work.
Right. Yes.
They're going to try. They're going to show up, and they're going to do the best they can. But I got news for you. They're not going to win. But they could very possibly find a way to be up front when the white flag is going at Daytona for the 500 and somehow manage to get shoved across the line and win the Daytona 500. And I would imagine that Suarez would probably pay back pretty well, because I'm not looking at the odds, and you might be, if he was just so happened to win the Daytona 500.
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm going to pull that up right now while I ask you this next question here about that. When you look at, places like, you got Dover with the tracks, we've right. got DraftKings who's sponsoring the show this week. That brings a whole new level of engagement to the sport, because some people just, will go on there and just bet to bet because it's an option. And I look at everything like that, and that's going to lead to even my next point, as an opportunity to grab a new race fan. So any time that we've got the opportunity to do that, I'm all about it.
Fantasy football was huge for the NFL. It just is. I mean, what they created with the fantasy picks and the NFL had men and women, young and old, playing, picking a team of players that they'd never heard of the first year, but then the second year they knew them, the third year they were fans of them. It created exactly what the NFL had hoped. Again, I'm not going to sit here and blow the horn for betting and all of that kind of stuff. I'm not even going to get into that.
Sure.
If that's something you do, great. If it's something that you don't believe in, that's great too. Does this help the sport? I suppose it does. I guess I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah,
sure. People like to bet on certain things, and I guess if they do and they find NASCAR something to bet on, good for them. I always enjoy, like I said, looking at the odds, because there are times when I think that they've made a monumental mistake, which would lead you to believe that it's like, okay, I'm going to take $20. I'm going to go put it on, Kevin Harvick, who they said was a 1-in-20 shot to win at Kansas. I don't think they get them wrong very often. So you gotta wait for it.
Yes.
And then if they do make that mistake, then you jump on it.
Suarez is plus 10,000 to one.
$100, baby.
Yeah,
right? You kidding me?
Yes. Yep. All right. Man, Jeff, we got, like you mentioned, we got new sponsors, new tracks, new dirt, new team alignments, new teams in general, new investors into the sport. We've got Michael Jordan. We've got Pitbull. And Jeff, I love the exposure from different avenues. Like, all right, you may not like Pitbull's music, but man, he's going to bring some new people to the sport, whether it's possible new capital from different investors that he knows. Like, it's going to attract new eyes on the sport, which I love.
Yeah, and the Grand Marshal of the Daytona 500, Pitbull, is. So, again, here's how I look at this. There are going to be some diehard, loyal, longtime NASCAR fans that say, I don't like this direction. I don't like this person or that person or whatever. Okay, that's fine. But I also said it in the beginning, and that is, if you don't embrace change, we're going to get left behind. A longtime loyal fan is not going to like the fact that we're putting dirt down on Bristol. I know that. I get it. I'm not even sure that I do. But before I go out and say publicly that this is the stupidest idea NASCAR's ever had, I'm going to wait. I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to evaluate it. there have been a lot of times, I think, in the past where we have been too quick to react about change, only to find out that it's like, hey, that's not so bad. And you know what? I'll use one example. How long ago was it that NASCAR fans were complaining that we went to Watkins Glen or out on the West Coast to Sonoma? They hated it.
Yeah.
But what did they hate? I don't know. Maybe they just, you know, that's road racing, man. That's for sports car people. We're not sports car people. We're NASCAR people. All right. I'm fine with that. I get it. Now, all of a sudden, we can't get enough of it. And now we have, what, 7 or 8 now because of the cancellation with California, our auto club. And people are digging it. And my hope is that we're not going to oversaturate it.
I'm with you there. Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Again, everybody has a really interesting point of view on everything. Sure. NASCAR fans are passionate. You are. I am. We know that.
Yep.
So, you know, I think I've always said this, and I know this is cliche, Brandon. If we can all row in the same direction, we can take our sport anywhere we want to.
Yep. Yep. Now,
doing that, then we become divided and we don't make the kind of strides. So hopefully we can all be on board. We've got a new schedule, like you said. We've got new teams, and I just think that it's an exciting time to embrace NASCAR for where we are today.
Absolutely. You know, and I'll just tie it back to last year. You know, NASCAR made leaps and bounds, changes and things that, you know, if it wasn't for COVID, NASCAR probably doesn't make as bold on the spot changes that they did, which led to us being able to get our season in from the sports perspective. It led to, granted, the 2021 schedule was already in the works, but that was bold. You know, dirt at Bristol's bold. Like you said, you know, I'm so torn on that because, man, I love trucks at Eldora, so why wouldn't I love trucks at Bristol on dirt? But then, you know, do we need the cup? You know, and that's a whole thing down the road, and I get that. And, hell, we could talk about that after we get to Bristol on dirt and see what we thought about it. You know, but like you said, you know, road courses. When I first became a fan of the sport in the early 2000s, I wasn't a fan of road course racing. But, you know, as you said, you know, you got to change, you got to evolve. And as the sport's evolved, as my passion for the sport has evolved, man, I love road courses. And like you said, you know, saturation, it's a fine line. And I personally, I think it's good to want more. And if you want more, that means the product at that particular track is good enough for you to want more. And I think 6, now 7, I get that with the addition was outside of everyone's control there to a degree. But I mean, that's to me, I think you're starting to cross that borderline point of the saturation mark when you've got 7 road courses. I think, you know, we got 8 or 9 short tracks. I mean, that's a good 40-45% of the circuit right there. So, I mean, that's a good mark for me. I'm happy with where we're at from a road course and short track perspective.
Yeah, when we talk, we could do a whole entire show or a series of shows on what's right and what's wrong, and just using that word of saturation. And I just think that there are times when we look at it and say, do we have too many races? Do we run too many laps? Do we have too many mile and a half racetracks? Do we have too many road courses? Do we have this right, that right? You know, what is the right number? And what makes that so difficult is if we got 100 people in the room, we'd have 100 different answers.
Yes.
It wouldn't even be a matter of going, well, geez, 50 of us agree 100%. We'll never get there.
No.
Never.
Nope.
So, you know, we got to take the good with the bad.
Yep.
as personal, meaning that somebody out there is going, you know what, I hate the idea that they're going to put dirt down in Bristol. Got it. Let's just take the good with the bad. It's one night. We may surprise ourselves and find out that that was the best show of the year, and then we can all stand up and applaud. If we find out it is the absolute worst show of the year, I think it's fair to say that NASCAR and SMI, who owns that track, is not dumb. And I think they'd probably change it for 2022.
Yes.
So
yes.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm with you. Speaking of track and all that, I don't remember if I had asked you this at the end of the year show last year that we did. What new track are you most excited to get to this year?
Well, you did, but I'll answer it again, and you'll remember when I tell you Road America.
Yes. Okay.
And I do for one big reason. It's not about the race. It's about the fan. I think the race fans up in that part of the country are going to turn out maybe like we've never seen before. We do that now at Watkins Glen. We are going to do that at Road America over the 4th of July. Take NASCAR way up into Wisconsin, into the middle of the woods, and invite about 200,000 race fans. And I think that's a realistic number to expect. Put it in a park atmosphere. I can't wait. I just can't wait to get there. Now, that being said, I'm also looking forward to going back to Nashville. I love Nashville. The town is fantastic. The track is great. The Cup cars have never raced there. COTA, what can you say about that? Take a multi-million dollar racetrack designed for Formula One, but state of the art, and bring NASCAR in there for the very first time. How can you argue with that? There's just so many spotlight events throughout that it just I don't think it matters whether it's right now in February as we get to run the Daytona 500. Every month has something unique in it. And that's saying that, you know, that's taking Martinsville and Talladega right out of the equation. And how can you do that? Because those are historic, phenomenal tracks that everybody can't wait to get back to. But yeah, you also have these brand new little diamonds scattered throughout the schedule. So I really think it's unique, exciting. Again, a good time to be a NASCAR fan.
Absolutely. There's not one weekend you can't get excited about. Like, you know, you got the old guard. You know, you throw Darlington in the mix there. You know, you've got Richmond. If you're a NASCAR fan, in my opinion, you've got to find a reason not to get excited over a couple week stretch, because there's just so much going on with the 2021 season that, like I said, you're not a fan if you're not a little bit excited about what's coming up, in my opinion. All right, let's do this, Jeff. We're going to be in Florida for 3 weeks. We're going to hit a super speedway, a mile and a half, and a road course. Do we have a headline after 3 weeks in Florida?
You know, I knew you were going to do this to me. I knew you were going to say who's going to win, you know, who's going to win the championship. And
I'll tell you what, that is not written down. I promise you.
You would have worked it in at some point, put me on the spot. You know, trying to figure out who is going to win on the road course is probably as difficult and Daytona 500 as it is to figure out who's going to win the championship. And here's why. We know that anybody can win. Not anybody. But we know that trying to pick the Daytona 500 winner is very, very difficult.
Yes.
Trying to pick the champion at the end of the year. We all have our favorites. We all think we know. Everybody who picked Chase Elliott last year was a Chase Elliott fan. He was their favorite driver. Don't tell me that I'm wrong. You know what I mean by that.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know. There are storylines going in. Now, how do they read? Does it read that Kyle Busch is electric after 3 weeks in Florida, winning two out of the three events? Why would that be a storyline? Because he couldn't do it last year. That's why that would be a storyline.
Yep.
You know, Eric Almirola finally wins the Daytona 500, something that eluded him just a couple of years ago when he got wadded up with Austin Dillon coming to the checkered flag. That'd be a storyline. Why? Because we're not really, nobody's really talking about Eric Almirola to win the Daytona 500. But yet, just a couple of years ago, he almost did.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think we're going to be reading a storyline that Bubba Wallace has won two out of the first three races. Could he win the Daytona 500? Absolutely he could, because he's driving a Toyota and he has got some great Toyota teammates, one of which is a team owner in Denny Hamlin. I don't know. I'll turn the tables. What do you think? I think there are some great storylines going in, but my crystal ball, Brandon, is foggy at best, and I just can't make out what might be a headline coming out of Florida at the end of the month.
I will say I think as unique as – something tells me we're getting a first-time winner at Daytona. That's just the itch that I've had since I started seeing these commercials, since the hype started building around the season. I truly believe we're going to get a first-time winner at Daytona, and I'm excited about that, because that can make careers. Now, who is that? Is that someone like Bubba, who finished second a couple years ago? Is that somebody, you know, like Tyler Riddick, who could maybe jumpstart and revitalize and give a bolt of life to the RCR program? You know, there are so many first-time potential winners that have done well at Daytona, at Talladega, either in the Cup Series, in the Xfinity Series. I think that's a very realistic potential that we're talking about someone making a career. Not that if you've already won, it's not, but, man, a first-time winner at Daytona, I think we're going to have some headlines there, that's for sure.
All right, let me add to that. You know, I don't disagree with anything you say, because somebody else could say, I think Denny Hamlin is going to go back to back to back and win three straight. Somebody else could say, you got to take the odds on favorite and take a Harvick or a Keselowski or this guy or that guy, and they wouldn't be wrong. They could say that, you know, Suarez is going to win the Daytona 500. They're just sure of it. And you know what? Right now, they wouldn't be wrong. Just like what you're saying with Bubba. And I'll tell you something, though. I do think about this. How many times in sports have we had a story that developed, a major story that developed, and the bow tie was in the World Series or a Super Bowl or maybe it was just a regular game. And here's my point with that. We all get the Bubba Wallace story. At least I hope we do. I mean, we've been telling this story and reading this story now for a long time.
Sure.
It really came to light last year and at Talladega. And then that story continued when Bubba announced that he was going to leave the legendary King Richard Petty and join Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin in 2311 racing. And we thought, man, this story's not going to end. This story just keeps getting better. Can you imagine what it would be like if on Sunday Bubba Wallace takes Denny and Michael to victory lane? Now, there are going to be some people out there, and you mark my words, that say if that happens, NASCAR somehow turned a blind eye to tech or this or that.
Sure.
That's not true. That is not true.
Nope.
If Bubba Wallace wins that race, he will do it because of the preparation that car went through and his ability to drive that car. So I wouldn't ever want to hear that, but we would. But can you imagine what that would be like, Brandon, on Sunday, if Bubba climbs out of that car and stands on the hood, which I'm guessing he probably would, on the roof of that car, and pump his hands in the fist, and you're looking there at Denny Hamlin standing alongside, getting out of the FedEx Toyota to greet the guy that drives for him, and Michael Jordan is there. Can you imagine what that would be like?
I got goosebumps just you talking about it.
Well, I'll tell you what, it could be pretty cool. And that's really not to take away from, you know, a Kyle Busch trying to do something that he's never done before. I want to see Kyle Busch win.
Yes.
I really do.
Yep.
I'd like to see him add that to his resume. He deserves that. I'd like to see Denny win three in a row. That's never been done before. I'd like to see, you know, and the list goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah, we could cover
which
the
is
field.
Why? Exactly right. Guess what? That's why we will be tuned in some fashion or another on the radio, on TV, or sitting in the grandstands waiting for the green flag to come out.
Yes, sir. Oh, man, I love it. All right, couple quick ones here. We can rapid fire this one if you want.
Sure.
But if we don't, that's okay, too. Will 2021 be a redemption tour for Kevin Harvick?
Well, you know what? No, hold on. What is that supposed to mean? The guy won 9 times. I know what you're trying to say. Does he win a championship that you're claiming was stolen from him by NASCAR that has this convoluted point system? That's what you're trying to say.
No,
why didn't you just
here's why I said redemption tour. Because Kevin Harvick was making the playoffs with one win. Kevin Harvick probably would have sacrificed 3 or 4 wins to have a crack at it at Phoenix. So that's where I say, you know, I say redemption tour, and hey, maybe Kevin Harvick doesn't win 9 times this year. Maybe he wins 4 times, but does he win the 4 right times this year?
Well, I think the short answer would be yes, of course. I would have Kevin Harvick in my championship 4, and that would take him all the way to Phoenix and allow him to race 3 other drivers for the championship. Is he going to win it on that day? I don't know. But I do think that in my final 4, I would probably have Harvick, Hamlin, Chase Elliott, and then I'm not sure about my 4th pick yet. So short answer, does he get an opportunity to repeat? He's Kevin Harvick, for crying out loud. He is a monster when it comes to a Sunday afternoon. When you look over there and you see that car and that driver lined up there, you know, think of your short track. And I'm going to use this analogy. I know we're trying to stay short, but I'll be quick. You remember at the short track, when all the drivers would look over towards that pit gate and here comes that truck and trailer into the pit area and they all go, oh man, so-and-so's here. I guess we're racing for 2nd. You know what? Kevin Harvick is that guy that everybody looks at. I mean, I don't care if you're an Elliott fan, if you're a Brad fan, it doesn't matter. Kevin Harvick is a beast and he is going to get his share of wins again. Probably right up until he decides that he is going to call it a career, and he will be a factor each and every week.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
all right, I'll be quicker.
Right.
Go. What's next?
Kyle Busch, back to winning ways this year, and I say that plus or minus 2.5 on the wins.
I'll take the over. Kyle Busch will win more than 2.5 races. You're not going to keep him down.
I'm with you there. You already hit the one on Chase Elliott getting back to the final 4 to defend. I love that one because he's got to be there. We'll wrap it with this. Jeff, man on the street question. If someone randomly just comes up to you, what's the first Daytona finish that comes to your mind? Which one is it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't answer that.
No,
that's
fair. You know, you've been there for so many of them, man. I love it.
They're great. The one that probably stands out in my mind, and I couldn't tell you who won, was my first Daytona 500 when I stood over in turn number 4. It was the year after Dale Sr. had been killed there.
Okay.
He lost his life in turn number 4. The following year, the Motor Racing Network said, Striegel, we want you to stand over in turn 4 and call the Daytona 500 with Barney Hall and Joe Moore and Dave Moody and Mike Bagley and Winston Kelly and Steve Post, and it might have been Adam Alexander. I'm sure. I'm guessing it probably was, but I don't know that. And when you stand at the Daytona 500, even though I had been working for the Motor Racing Network for maybe a dozen years at that point, when you stand and look down at the track in Daytona, knowing you're getting ready to call your first Daytona 500, it will bring tears to your eyes. Moody will tell you that. Bagley will tell you that. It will give you goosebumps. Alex Hayden will tell you that. Alex would have been there. You know, Joe Moore would have told you that. Barney Hall would have told you that. And that is the Daytona 500 that I will always remember, because when they were singing the national anthem and the jets were ripping across the infield, and the sold out crowd on that day was on their feet losing their mind, I had tears running down my cheeks going, I can't believe I'm here. I was only so fortunate that there are commercials and a few moments that have to go on before they come and do our scene set, where they say, covering the action out in turn number one, from Barry, Vermont, is Dave Moody. And from Dover, Delaware, is Mike Bagley. And from Grand Rapids, Michigan, is Jeff Striegel. If they would have come to me right after the national anthem, I would have never cracked my mic.
Wow.
Because I would not have been able to talk. But then you also add to that last year when Ryan Newman comes literally tumbling across the start-finish line, when Trevor Bayne is the David versus Goliath story, when Kevin Harvick comes blasting out of the middle of the pack, you know, they're just – or you could go back to the first one that we all remember, or at least those that are my age – and that is sitting around the TV. I wasn't even in Daytona. What's the most memorable Daytona 500? The one I was watching on TV with my dad in the middle of the blizzard when they had the fight on the back straightaway. Yeah. We all know what I'm talking about. If it hadn't been for CBS on that day, who knows what this sport would be. Daytona 500s are memorable, every single one of them. And I know that this Sunday is going to offer the same thing for fans around the world.
Oh, Jeff, I love it. You set the tone and the scene perfectly there. I love it, man. Jeff, where can everybody follow you on social media and tune in to the Daytona 500 this Sunday?
At Jeff Striegel on any and all social platforms. And you know what? Hang on. I was not prepared for this, but you know what I can do? Maybe if I can find it. Here we go. Here we go, listeners. If you want the Motor Racing Network schedule for the remainder of the week, of course, tonight we've got the Clash. Tomorrow on Wednesday, our airtime is at noon, and that will be for practice at MRN.com. Then on your favorite MRN network, we'll be qualifying at 7 o'clock Thursday on an MRN affiliate at 6 p.m. for the duel at Daytona. Friday, Brandon, 7 p.m., trucks under the lights.
Yes.
Saturday, MRN.com, 9:30 for a practice. Airtime, noon for more practice. Then we've got the ARCA race beginning at 1:30. We have the Xfinity Series at 4:30 on Saturday. The 63rd running of the Great American Race, 1:30 airtime on a MRN affiliate. If you don't know how to find one, go to MRN.com, look under affiliates, go down to the state you live in, click it, you'll find a station, or, of course, SiriusXM NASCAR channel 90. There you go, bud.
Oh, man, I love it. Man, Jeff, thank you so much for taking some time out of a busy day, a busy week. Safe travels all year, man, and can't wait to get you back on down the road. And hopefully, God willing, see you at a racetrack this year, brother.
I know you will. I know you will. And I also know you got some really, really big things to announce to your listeners coming up in the weeks to come. They're awesome. They're well-deserved. I know your fans are going to embrace them when you finally get an opportunity to share that. Thanks for everything you do, and I'll see you soon, my friend. Take care.
Thanks, brother. We'll see
you. All right, buddy.
Lapped Traffic Nation. I mean, how do you not love Jeff Striegel? I mean, my gosh, the guy's just so incredible, so generous, so awesome. I say it every time, but it's 100% the truth. Just so incredible. Cannot wait. I will definitely be tuning in and having some MRN on in the background just to hear Jeff and be like, hey, I know that voice. So everyone, go make sure you check out Jeff Striegel on social media. Go check out MRN and catch Jeff calling the race this Sunday for sure. You know, I can't believe I forgot to mention at the start of the show, not only was Jeff going to be on, not only is Live Traffic Fantasy back, but Aaron Studwell and Brian Newdorf are going to be on with the weather today. We're going to have them both on just because it's special. It's the kickoff to the season and all that good stuff. But before we get to Brian and Aaron. Let's get to a little Lap Traffic social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Instagram and Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Don't forget to go to Instagram, or not Instagram. I was reading Instagram. Don't forget to go to DraftKings.com. Sign up for their $1 million contest that they've got going on this weekend. You heard me talk about it at the start of the show. And make sure you use code LAPPED. That's LAPPED when you sign up at DraftKings.com and all that good stuff for sure. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Blueberry, Acast, you name it, Alexa. Tell her to play Lap Traffic Podcast, and she will. We've got the giveaway going on with all of the Lap Traffic swag, the Clint Boyer diecast. We're inching closer. We've crossed the 5,100 follower mark, so about 350 more to go, and we'll be able to give that away for sure. And speaking of some new followers, got some new followers to shout out. Rob Lambert at RLE Show Online, radio personality and sports director for WDRT-FM, and a huge Dale Sr. and Jr. fan from Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, man. Hope I did that call letter right there for you, brother. Let's see. Who else do we got this week? Got Mike Johnson at MP Johnson 79, former Alabama football All-American and former Atlanta Falcons player. Wow. That's... might be one of the most unique follows that I have. That's freaking awesome. I love that. And we got Chris Blackmore at USMC14 fan, retired U.S. Marine. Thank you for your service. And big NASCAR fire rescue team member, which is freaking awesome. I need to get you on the show and talk about some of that stuff. Out in California. Love it. Guys, thank you so much for the follows. Keep them going. Keep telling your friends and all that good stuff. Stickers and koozies are available for free. If you want one, go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Fill out the contact page and all that good stuff. I'll get some out to you for free. And what do you say? I think it's time we get Mr. Aaron Studwell and Brian Newdorf on the line. Let's see what's going to happen weather-wise at Daytona this weekend. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, I'm so excited. This is the weather segment. It's the first weather segment of Season 5 of the Lap Traffic Podcast for the first race of the 2021 NASCAR season, Daytona, coming up this Sunday. Joining me on the line, I needed them both because there's just so much to talk about. It is the legendary Aaron Studwell and Brian Newdorf for this take two of the weather segment, because the first was a disaster. So
he wins a trophy and he gets legendary, and then I get like a side note. Seriously,
glad you understand.
And a footnote.
Yeah, and you know, I think you overstate disasters by comparing that segment to a disaster.
Yes. Oh, and
it's actually utter brilliance. It's just never going to see the light of day.
I hit the wrong button, so we're actually cutting over. So yes, no, that is a forgotten segment. For our 3 years that will only have known what went on for the last 7 minutes, but now just starting fresh here. So,
well, since you have the legendary Aaron Studwell, why am I here?
You're the phenomenal Brian Newdorf.
Thank you. At least I got an adjective. Okay. Is that too hard?
We needed the adjective. I can roll with that. All right, gentlemen. We got a busy week coming up here of racing. We've got the Clash tonight. We've got the duels on Thursday. We got Cup qualifying Wednesday. We got truck racing, Xfinity racing, and of course the big dance on Sunday. I know you guys are going to divide it up and all that good stuff. Aaron, would you like to start? How is the weather looking for the Clash tonight, man?
Oh, for night, Busch Clash, I am looking forward to this road course. So I'm actually going to disappoint some people here. There's only a slight chance of isolated showers.
Oh, wow.
And I know people want to see rain. This would be the day you want to see rain.
Yep.
Not much of a chance of rain. Light and variable winds, temperature around 70.
Excellent. All right. The phenomenal Brian Newdorf. How is the weather looking for qualifying on Wednesday?
Generally speaking, as we go into Wednesday, doesn't look all that bad. I think we're going to see improvement. a pretty nice day, very 75 degrees during the day on Wednesday, and mostly sunny with more sunshine towards the latter part. So at least we got a good day there for Wednesday. But as Aaron will attest, and you'll hear from these different forecasts we have, it's complicated. Let's just put it that way. It's like most of our relationships. It's complicated.
That's a good one. I like that.
He's been trolling my Facebook page again.
Well, we'll throw it back over to Aaron Thursday for the duels. How are we looking?
I'm going to start with actually our daytime forecast. We do have a chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms on Thursday. Those are generally going to be the kind of where they're going to dissipate in the afternoon, late afternoon, evening hours. So for the duels, we're actually looking at fair skies, southerly winds, temperature around 70.
Well, that sounds fantastic. All right, Brian, how are we looking for the trucks Friday under the lights at Daytona?
The concern is, as we were talking about the complication of this forecast, now we start to get a front that tries to work its way through the panhandle and then over the area Friday into Saturday. And so the location of this front is going to be key. So as of right now, there's definitely a chance of rain at this point. So we should at least mention that. I'd say odds of racing, I'm going to go optimistic, because at this far out, a lot can change. Even the year when we raced on a Monday early on, it had a dry forecast for Daytona. So what I would say is about 60% odds of racing on the track. Just given that it's going to come down to, where does that front push through? Does it get through on time? And then the shower activity, which will then set up pretty much the rest of the weekend, is going to come down to that placement of where that front pushes out as we get while the rest of us from Louisville, where I'm at, all the way up to Michigan, has to deal with some really cold air. So that's the fun part.
It is definitely chilly up here. Obnoxiously chilly up here. That is the.
Just wait.
There's my Karen comment of the weather segment. It is obnoxiously chilly up here. All right, Aaron. Saturday, Xfinity race. You got a little stake in the game here with Landon Castle making his debut in the Xfinity Series again this year with a new team and with your partnership there. So, have at it for Saturday, my man.
Yeah, so we actually had the ARCA race first, and that's probably the bigger problem is there's really good chance of showers and thunderstorms through the day, although that does tend to weaken into the afternoon hours. So you might see the ARCA race get moved to Sunday before 500. But for the Xfinity race, it actually, I think I'm feeling a little bit more optimistic than I may have been about 24 hours ago. So I want to have a chance of showers and thunderstorms. We'll definitely be monitoring the situation. But with a later start, I think they'll be able to run to completion. If we, you know, we may have a late start, but I think they'll be good.
Excellent. All right. Brian, the big dance on Sunday, the Great American Race. How are we looking for the Daytona 500?
As of right now, I'd say it's mostly dry, with possible improvement if we do get rain. But it's really silly this early on to try to get into an exact timing. Again, a lot can change, usually does, this far out, especially when you're dealing with timing of a boundary and will it stall or not. If it stalls, then, yeah, it's going to be a long it's the worst Valentine's Day gift ever. So the downside, what we're going to be watching, and we could be busy, but I'm going to go odds of racing of about 75%. And for those of you who may be new, the odds of racing, I kind of came up with it, and it's kind of just carried us through. And that is, people, you know, percent chance of rain is kind of meteorology talk. And if you ask about either people on the street, and I think Aaron can attest, you can get different answers with that. But people seem to generally get the idea that how confident we were that we were going to see racing. And typically, you know, this far out, it's like, how much are we going to see any actual racing and basically getting an official race? I like to use not a complete race, an official race, because, you know, it's a matter of, will they postpone it or have to run it again? And usually official race, well, they don't. So for those of you who may be new, but as of right now, we're just going to watch that boundary. And when it gets through, it could be breezy along that boundary as well. And temperature's a little bit cooler than it has been all week, as that cooler air tries to work in. So preliminary at this point, we could have a chance of showers, and we may be looking at temperatures in the 60s or at least getting close to 70 with some breezy conditions. But again, you know, little disclaimer, this is early, so check back. And you know, Aaron and I will keep keep it updated. And just so people know, and I think Aaron's already had to use the mute button, maybe the block button on social media.
Not yet.
Not yet.
It could happen. I'm going to more free. I'm going to pull out my inner Dave Moody, and I'm going to more freely use that mute button.
And I can't necessarily speak on behalf of Aaron, but we've had numerous conversations, so I feel pretty confident that we're on the same page on this. Number one, you know, don't like DM us and say, well, what do you really think? I just tweeted it. Okay. We don't hold anything back. There's no side gig where we're just putting out little bits of information. We hold the good stuff. Now, okay. Aaron does, he has Patreon, but I don't. Okay. So I'm not making anything off of this. On the other side of things too, you know, if you're going to send us, actually, all I have to say is if you do send me a picture of your weather app, explain why you send it to me. That's actually better than just sending it to me. Just, there we go. I'm sorry. I'm off my little soapbox, but there you go. And this has all actually happened within the last 2 weeks.
I believe every second of that. Yes. All right. So I've got an important question for both of you. The first is Aaron, are we going to see a Landon Castle pick from you in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League for the Xfinity Series race?
Yeah, for this race, maybe not. For the road course, right? Well, no, probably not that either. You will get it. But there's some, with Cindric, you've got a lot of really good road course racers, right, in the Xfinity Series.
Yes.
I honestly think he could be in contention for a playoff spot in the Xfinity Series.
Absolutely. I love everything about that.
I do too. First of all, I met Landon at Michigan, and I'm biased because he's always been super cool to me. So that definition, I'm just biased because if you're a driver and he thought it was cool, he was meeting me, and I thought it was cool, I was meeting him. So that's how it goes.
And Brian, my important question to you is will you have your picks in by 5 o'clock on Thursday, or will I need to text you at 4:55?
So 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock on Friday. Gotcha.
I love it. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Aaron Studwell and Brian Newdorf for once again signing up for whatever we want to call this for the next, NASCAR season 5 of Lap Traffic Podcast. So grateful for their time and all that kind of stuff and all of their promoting on social media and all that good stuff. Make sure you follow Aaron at Race Weather and Brian Newdorf at NASCAR_WXMAN on Twitter for all the updates and all that good stuff. Gentlemen, it's great to have you back and look forward to talking with you guys throughout the season.
It's great to be back. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Oh, Lap Traffic Nation, great to catch up with Aaron Studwell and Brian Newdorf and get those guys back on for the weather segment, as is tradition on the show. And we'll have Aaron Studwell on next week for the road course preview and all that good stuff, and probably recap a little Daytona with him as well. Normally, we'll have some lucky dogs right about now. Cannot wait for the lucky dog segment to come back next week. That's right. And don't forget the Wave Around hotline this year, which you can call 248-965-9538. I'll tweet all that out. That's open this year for anything you guys want to use it for. You want to leave your lucky dog picks there. You want to comment on the race. Whatever you want to do on there, it's yours to leave some comments, and I will work those into the show wherever they'll fit. So feel free. New this year, the openness of the Wave Around hotline, for sure. I'm very excited about that. All right. It is time. I'm very excited. It is time to kick off season 5 of the Lap Traffic Fantasy League, and let's do some Lap Traffic Fantasy. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, the Lap Traffic Fantasy League, season 5 of the Lap Traffic Fantasy League, is getting ready to kick off this weekend. There are over 100 players, getting new players still registering, which is awesome. Hey, as long as it's before Thursday, you can play for the entire season. You can get in whenever. You're just not going to be in for the full season. But keep the request coming. Come register. Come sign up. Get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Thursday. We're picking all 3 series this weekend. And what better way to kick off the Lap Traffic Fantasy League and to make the picks with me this week is none other than your 2020 Lap Traffic Fantasy League champion. It's Joe Houston. Joe, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Brandon. I'm very excited to get this season going and for all the new players joining and everything.
Yes, man. This year, obviously, it's going to be bigger and better than ever, which is awesome. Man, let's see here. Let's start before we get to the picks. We got Daytona coming up this weekend, man. What's your hot take on Daytona? Does Denny Hamlin repeat? Do we get I told Jeff Striegel earlier tonight that I think we're getting a first-time winner at Daytona.
Ooh, interesting. I could definitely see that. I mean, I don't know if I have a really hot take. I'm just excited to get things back rolling. I think, you know, you had that great truck series episode a couple weeks ago. I'm definitely excited for that. I think the truck series is ultra competitive. I was definitely maybe you talked about this in the show already, but I was disappointed to hear about Enfinger not running full time. That make any sense.
That hurt, man. Especially, you know, with CJ and I going as hard as we did in the trucks and talking about Grant and that stung, man. That one hit, man. I was very disappointed when I heard that.
I mean, I don't know if he's the favorite to win the championship, but I feel like he probably would have been even money to make the final four.
Absolutely.
Which is just nuts. Yep. I don't get it, but yeah, it's whatever.
It's one of those things, man. And hopefully he goes out and wins Daytona and pisses some people off.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Well, I hope so as well.
Yes. All right, man. Some changes to the league this year. We got some bonus points that are going to carry over and all that. And if you win a segment, that puts you in the playoffs. What do you think of some of the changes just made this year in lap traffic fantasy?
I like them all. I was definitely excited about the bonus points. I think just winning for a given week or picking a winner in the Cup Series, you know, you definitely deserve a little bonus point in the playoffs, which, you know, 1 point is not much, but you stack a few of those up together in the playoffs, maybe it does make a difference, makes you, you know, not get cut out or whatever. And I also like the idea for segment winners advancing, because now anybody can just join up, you know, anytime through segment one. If you miss a race here or there, whatever, it's no big deal. You still got a shot to advance, even if you fall down behind in the overall standings.
Absolutely. So I when I was redoing the rules this year, I had two goals in mind. One, how to continuously attract new players throughout the year that maybe find the show, you know, 10 weeks into the season, which, you know, if they want to come and play, yep, you know, I didn't want them to be at a full disadvantage. So that solved that problem. And the other problem was, you know, if you have three or four bad weeks, you know, almost 99% will submit picks for the first few weeks, but then it starts to trickle down and all that. So how do I solve that problem? And hopefully the bonus points, which can carry over and all that, will hopefully keep attrition high in terms of, you know, keeping a strong commitment to the league. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm glad you're excited.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm definitely excited. I gotta defend the titles. Be the first person to win it back to back. There's a lot of competition.
Yes,
a lot of competition, but we'll see. I think it'll be fun.
Excellent. All right, man. Well, what do you say? You ready to make picks for the first time for the 2021 Lab Traffic Fantasy Year?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, brother. Let's start with the truck series, man. Who is your pick for Daytona Trucks Under the Lights Friday night?
Well, we already talked about him. I got to go Grant Enfinger. For a split second, I second-guessed after I just found out about that today, that he wasn't running full-time. And, you know, maybe he's not in the best truck that they have, but he, just by the numbers, does incredibly well at Daytona and Talladega, for that matter. So, got to go Grant.
I'm with you there. I had written him down, but I wanted to keep with my theme, so to speak, of first-time winners in the Truck Series as well as the Cup Series. So I am actually going with John Hunter Nemechek to get the Daytona Truck win.
I like it. So, I can see it for sure.
Yes. All right, let's move over to the Xfinity Series. Who is your take?
Well, I think I'll be pulling for AJ Allmendinger. I'm excited that he's running full-time. I love his personality. But last year I picked this guy at least three, and I think every time the Xfinity Series was at a plate track, and worked out pretty well for me. So I'm going to go with Justin Haley.
Justin, nice. That's a solid pick there. I, too, was leaning that route, but I was like, screw it. I'm going with AJ Allmendinger. So I've got AJ Allmendinger for the Xfinity Series to kick things off. And then the big dance, Sunday night, the Great American. Well, let's hope it's not Sunday night. Sunday afternoon. Let's hope there's no weather. There's no impending doom upon us. Who do you got for the Cup race on Sunday?
Well, I don't think this guy would be a first time winner, but it would definitely be a great story, and that's going to be Ryan Newman.
Oh, that would be perfect. Yes, what a redemption, man. That would be incredible if Ryan Newman pulled that off, man, for sure. I am going with Tyler Reddick to get his first Cup win at the Daytona 500 this weekend and to give some light and an energy boost to the RCR program.
I like it. That would definitely be another great story. That's for sure.
Yes. Yeah. So we're starting a little out of the box. We're going to see if we can get a hot start this year. Matt, good luck in the league. I'm sure this is not going to be the last time I talk to you this year. Enjoy the race on Sunday, man. And thanks for supporting the show and the league, man.
Absolutely. Yep, but good luck to you as well. Hopefully this time we can get you in the playoffs.
Yes, I got to make the playoffs. Yes. All right, man, we'll catch you soon. We'll talk to you later.
All right, sounds good. See you, Brandon.
See ya. All right, Lat Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 220, the go-home show before the Daytona 500. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter and Instagram, at Lap Traffic PC. Huge thanks to Jeff Striegel, Aaron Studwell, Brian Newdorf, Joe Houston for calling into the show. I'm still working on something for next week. I'm sure I'll find somebody to come onto the show, though. Make sure you check out the PETM podcast tonight with yours truly. Go sign up for DraftKings using code LAPT at sign up. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!